Yo, Dan.
Yo, dude.
Show number 72.
We all started up?
Yeah.
Wow, you just drop it on me like that. You just drop it.
Yeah.
Right on me like that.
Well,
I didn't even have time to breathe or do my breathing.
I know, I usually do like some cool sound effects or something. But we got some great, we got some great music. I had a dizzy feeling in my head. Took a look at my palm. She said, a son, you feel kind of warm. She looked into a crystal ball. She said, you're in love. How could that be so? I thought all the girls I know. She said, when the next one arrives, you'll be looking into her. Listen to the rest of that album.
That was so good. We've been listening to it every day, 4 or 5 times a day in the studio. We're all hooked.
Really?
It's so, you just don't get tired of it. You hear it once through and you immediately want to start again. This is the best thing. You know it's a great album when every song makes sense next to the previous one and the next one. And it's as one
it
comprehensive
flows,
piece
it's
of
cohesive.
Artwork. It's gorgeous.
Oh, that's cool, man.
More than, I'd say I haven't heard a more beautiful, comprehensive album since Pearl Jam's 10.
Wow.
Yes. I'm saying it right here and now.
That's significant.
It was that good.
Wow.
And that was like, that was one of the more Led Zeppelin-y of the tracks. Like that one, that track specifically reminds me the most of Led Zeppelin.
There's a good couple of guitar licks in there.
Good guitar licks, a little trippy, a little spacey, dreamy. And it was great.
Alison Krauss is a...
She's on most of them.
On most of the tracks, but not on that one.
No, not on that one, but she's on most of them. And it's like they were made for each other. I swear to God, dude, this is a golden egg, this album.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
I got to check it out.
Yeah.
I haven't. I've downloaded it, but I didn't actually
pay for it.
No. So I got a Zune. A friend of mine works at Microsoft or works for Zune, and she gave me the Zune.
Oh, cool.
The little MP3 player, and I actually really like it.
Really,
like,
do you?
Not as a piece of hardware, but as a model for music subscriptions, because
is that interesting?
I don't have to download and keep music. I just plug it into my computer and then I've got instant access to everything in their library. And as long as I pay $10 a month, I can download and delete whatever I want.
As much or as little or
yeah.
For $10 a month. So it's a subscription.
So I don't feel like
subscription service like cable television or like,
exactly.
Like
it's a utility. They made music a utility and it's pretty sweet. Like I don't feel like if the whole thing got wiped, I wouldn't feel like, oh my God, there goes my music collection, because I'm not collecting music on it.
I'm just passing by it.
I'm just remembering that I wanted to listen to something and making sure that it's on there. You know what I mean? It's a different sort of attitude, like where you're accessing music. That's because nowadays we have so many different ways of getting a hold of music that like it sort of defeats the purpose of having the stockpile of records or CDs or
it does. MP3s. They're so trashable. Every song can so easily be chucked and refound and regained.
Yeah.
Like either copying it off your buddies or downloading it for free or buying it or buying it for £1 a track or $1 a track or whatever.
Right.
But at the same time, with the Zune, you can still use it like a normal iPod, right? And just have it be a big hard drive playing music, right?
Yeah, and it has a radio.
Yeah, but what's that matter?
I don't know. Sometimes I actually listen to the radio, you know?
That always cracks me up when like mobile phones are advertised as, you know, GPRS and has FM radio. Okay, thanks, man. Yeah. But does it have AM too?
Got a rock.
Yeah.
Shaped actually, in a round way that you can roll things on.
I would actually rather it had a bottle opener and a lighter, but same sort of technology. Yeah, but that I was reading an article about this, about the Led Zeppelin reunion show that's coming up at the Wembley.
3,000 pounds a ticket.
Something is that the top?
That's what the scalpers
tier,
are doing.
Right? Jesus.
No, that's just for general admission.
My God.
Go on eBay and try and get a ticket.
No, thanks. I'd like to, maybe
they're like,
try.
It's ridiculous.
Wow. That's a shame, but you probably have.
But what kind of jerks?
Is everyone in MySpace clamoring for it?
No, no one's got one. Like, it's really ridiculous. Like, honestly, nobody has tickets. Like, the only people that
just
have
like
tickets.
Just like Prince William, Prince Harry, and their girlfriends.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, I'm actually genuinely pissed off. Like, why not do 10 shows in all the major UK cities? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well,
why do one show in London? Like, that is so fucked up.
Apparently these guys, this is what the article was talking about a bit, but they didn't mention it with that key. Like, yeah, you should do more shows, and they, you know, they will, you know, they will.
I don't know if they will or not. I just think it's fucked up that they would
do
that.
Crazy not to. But apparently what this article was talking about was that these guys are a little old. Granted, everyone does that.
It's
and
not going to be
practice.
Like the rocking show.
Right.
Like,
and apparently, and you may have heard this from the song we just heard, Robert Plant's voice is deepened. He can't hit
the high notes
anymore.
High notes. Right.
And he can't even try. And they're realizing this. And so they can't play the songs like they used to. And so they've actually had to lower the key of all the songs for him to be able to hit, for it all to sound right.
Right.
Which I found fascinating. And I'm wondering why, like, because he wasn't, you know, he was a young man, but a man's voice doesn't deepen.
No, but he's
like
a baritone and he sang in a tenor range. Like,
so he was always singing in his head voice.
Yeah.
And now he just can't sing in his head voice.
Right.
Maybe it's all the cigarettes.
Yeah. No, but his voice sounds great on that track.
It does.
Man.
It sounds terrific, but it is noticeably lower. When I first heard it, I was like, is this really Robert Plant? You know, because you expect this. Wah!
Yeah.
But you don't get it.
I know. No, but he sang like that on some of the later Zeppelin stuff too. Like,
yeah,
I think like when in 1972, like he was like probably 23 years old or 25. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
peak physical condition, drinking all the time, and it didn't even matter. You yeah. know, like just whatever,
living
you
it.
Know? Yeah, but you know, even as the band got older, like. I don't know, but I don't know what John Paul Jones looks like. I haven't seen him in photos or anything.
No, I haven't.
But he's gonna like show up on stage, and people are gonna be like, "What? Where yeah. have you been, dude? You know, yeah, like yeah. what's been going on with you?"
And you said it's John Bonham's son that's drumming.
Yeah, Jason Bonham.
Yeah. Man, I want to see this show. I really do. Yeah. Everyone does. How could you not?
But Plant actually looks like he's been taking care of himself. Like if
yeah, yeah, he's like, still got most of his hair,
and he doesn't have like these like that gray complexion that like Jimmy Page kind of has. Like,
yeah, exactly. No, he's looking all right. He's looking well fed.
But that's what you want to see in an older man. You want to yeah. see like a little bit of color and a little bit of chub. You know, yeah, you don't want to yeah. see this like skinny like skin falling off your face, like yeah, wrinkly yeah. gray skin, like.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Like that singer from Van Halen, the Cabo Wabo guy. Oh, why am I blanking on his name?
Sammy Hagar.
Sammy Hagar. There you go. That's. I think he and Bonham.
There were about four or five singers I could think of from Van Halen, but that yeah. was the one you were talking about?
Okay. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. He was one of my favorites.
What was that song? What was that?
Here we go, round, round, round.
How do I know when it's love? Okay, Van Halen.
Oh, best stop now.
Yeah.
It's not a karaoke hour.
I can't tell you, but it lasts forever. So when you brought up the fact that you were going to play that track, I decided to pull one of my all-time favorite bluegrass tunes.
Sweet.
From a band called, because it's related, because Alison Krauss is on a large portion of that record.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's big in like bluegrass and folk music and stuff. Rather than play one of her tracks, which might have been a little bit more of a connection, mm-hmm. I decided to do
something classic, in her genre.
Classic reach, yeah. So this is from the Cache Valley Drifters, a band that is popular in Santa Barbara circles.
Oh.
So here we go with a psychedelic tune, The White Room.
Black curtains by the station. Black roof country, no gold pavements, tired starlings. Silver horses ran down moonbeams in your dark eyes. Dawnlight smiled on you leaving my contentment. I wait in this place where the sun never shines. Wait in this place where the shadows run from themselves. You said no strings could secure you at the station. Had no ticket, restless diesel, goodbye window. I walked into such a sad time at the station. When I walked out, I felt my own needs just beginning. I wait in the queue where the train's gone by. By here with you where the shadows run from them. In departing, she was kindness in the hard ground.
yellow tiger crouched in jungle in her dark eyes. Now she's dressing goodbye window, tired starling. I wait in this place where the sun never shines. Wait in this place where the shadows rise from themselves.
So that was the Cache Valley Drifters. They the reason they were big in Santa Barbara circles is because the mountains out behind Santa Barbara, there are these, there's like this tavern. It was called the Cold Springs Tavern. And they served ostrich burgers. Awesome. And Sierra Nevada.
Oh, and, you're killing me.
And it was like this, just, it was like a, it was a mountain cabin, sort of like
wood planks,
sort of like Skylanda, yeah, like kind of, yeah, like, yeah. You expect like Neil Young to like pull up in his Harley and just be like, nice. How's it going, everyone? You
know, like, mind if I play a little tune?
Yeah, exactly. the place was sweet, and I guess it was like every Thursday or whatever they would play at this place, and people would go up there just to watch the Cache Valley Drifters.
That sounds wicked.
Yeah, Ren
Wait,
and
did
I.
Did you guys live in Santa Barbara?
No, but Ren and I did a road trip to down the. We went to up to the wine country near Santa Barbara, and we passed through that this place on our way home. So, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, maybe next time when I'm on my way down to LA with Fifi, we can
go to the Cold Springs Tavern if you're anywhere near Santa Barbara.
Good,
it is
so cool.
We're
gonna be doing 101. And how far is it off 101? Like a good hour off?
No, not even.
Oh, cool.
It's like a half an hour away from the 101.
Nice.
So, and if you're going through like the wine country of Santa Barbara, then it's just right off that major highway that's inland from 101 a little bit.
I think I know the one you might be talking about.
Yeah.
I'll have to call you in advance, give you directions.
Which is weird because Santa Barbara actually has, no one really knows this. Well, a lot of people know this, but there is like, you know, like where they film Sideways or whatever?
Yeah.
Was sort of like in that, it's just north of Santa Barbara and like that.
Oh,
whole,
I thought they were all up in Northern California the whole time, but you're saying
no, that's not, that wasn't Napa. That wasn't, no, that actually, that wasn't in Napa at all. That was like central.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, they had me fooled.
It wasn't even, no, it wasn't, they weren't even fooling.
No?
Uh-uh.
The whole story actually was in Santa Barbara?
It took place
they didn't,
in
They didn't try and hide that
It
at all?
Wasn't Santa Barbara. It's like Solvang, right? Which is like that weird sort of Swiss community that's like north of Santa Barbara.
Like towards Mount Madonna Inn kind of area.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, dude. I know some weird stuff up there.
Yeah, Mount Madonna Inn being one of them.
Yeah. So,
have you guys ever stayed there?
No,
I kind of want to try. Yeah,
have you seen the website? They have the weird.
Yeah, I went to the website.
It's like they have like tiger print.
Yeah,
they have like the tiger print walls room.
Yeah,
you know, and like the junk, you know, the rainforest room, and
yeah,
like,
it's creepy. It's every time weird. I see those rooms, I always wonder, how do you clean that thoroughly? Like, because there's so many bizarre plaster nooks and crannies. Yeah, you don't.
Every single room is totally different and has its own theme. And it's like, weird.
I know. It freaks me out a little bit, but that's part of the thrill.
Yeah.
Just a whole lot of disinfectant spray.
Yeah, I don't think that place is known for its cleanliness.
Probably
I don't think
not.
People go, gosh, you know, it was kind of boring, but it was clean.
Yeah.
No.
Not at all. No, I can't help but think it's just, you know, where like a million great swingers parties have occurred and it has been ages since the last one and they're still living on it. And it's like, ooh, a little creepy. A little creepy.
So we got some listener submissions this week.
Really?
Yeah. There's no Spence, by the way. He sends his
apologies.
He wants to be here, but you know.
He's training bipedal octopi. In the tank right now.
Oh, yeah, we've got to get him to put that squirrel video on the site.
Yeah, definitely.
It's sight to beheld. It's
something to meditate on. It's like a moment of zen watching that squirrel fly through the air half asleep because he's so comfortable in the act.
So we've got... I've got the rainbow wheel of death right now. I'm trying to load this.
I was wondering today before I came over, whatever happened to Daniel Wiebe Johnson, one of my favorite listeners?
Is the guy in Paris?
Favorites, but yeah, Mr. Paris.
No, no, no. Hey, Daniel, you out there?
Dude. Say hello. Tell us what's new.
Yeah, what's happening?
Have you been on any dates with Yael lately? You know Yael, my favorite female French vocalist?
She just did a secret show with MySpace.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Where was my guest list spot, Mitch? I'm her biggest fan. I would have worn Dayglo spandex one.
It was a free show.
Oh. I guess I have no excuse.
Yeah.
Biggest fan title.
But it was in Marseille. Okay. What are you going to do?
Not much.
But we did hear from Jamie G.
That's cool.
Yeah. Everyone's coming out of the woodwork. I can't believe. I thought, you know, with the 2 month hiatus,
we'd have like a baker's dozen of listeners left.
Yeah, but everyone's still checking us out, which is great. So Jamie G says she's got some. She's got three recommendations for us, basically.
Sweet.
Oh, because she actually had a comment that said something about the fact that she was going to send us some music. So she sent us three.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play one of them tonight, and then maybe we'll roll some of them out.
Who's the artist?
It's called Delta Spirit, and they're doing a cover of a Paul Simon tune called... I don't know what it's called. I think it's called Diego or Dexter.
Sounds about right. Let's go with Diego.
Diego?
Let's go with Diego. That sounds a little more Paul Simon than Dexter. He likes his ethnicity.
Couple in the next room, bound to win a prize. They've been going at it all night long. I'm just trying to get some sleep, but these motel walls are cheap. Lincoln Duncan is my name, and here's my song. Here's my song. My father was a fisherman, my mother was a fisherman's friend. I was born in the boredom and the chowder. When I reached my prime, I left my home in the Maritimes, headed down the turnpike for New England. Oh, sweet New England. Thank you. holes in my confidence, holes in the knees of my jeans. I was left without a penny in my pocket. Ooh-wee, I was about destitute as a kid could be. I wish I wore a ring so I could hawk it. I'd like to hawk it. Young girl in a parking lot, preaching to a crowd, singing sacred songs and reading from the Bible. I told her I was lost. She told me all about the Pentecost. When I seen that girl's road to my survival. On the very same night when I crept to a tent with a flashlight, and my long years of innocence ended. She took me into the woods, saying, here comes something that feels so good. Just like a dog, I was befriended. I was befriended. Oh, oh, what a night. Oh, what a garden of delight. Even now that sweet memory lingers. Just playing my guitar, lying underneath the stars. Just thanking the Lord for my fingers, for my fingers.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
That was super good. It was really mellow, peaceful.
I liked it.
That was how I roll.
Jamie says, of the Delta Spirit, I saw them open up for Dr. Dog last weekend. I'd checked out a bad quality YouTube videos of them beforehand and wasn't impressed at all, but I'm glad I decided not to come late to the show because their live show was phenomenal. Here's the Day Trotter session they did.
Oh, cool, man. They're cool if they do a Day Trotter session.
Day Trotter is a really cool website, man.
Yeah, it is super cool.
It's like a blog / magazine
/ recording studio unto their own, because they always get interesting bands in to record songs pseudo live lo-fi just for them on their website.
So that's kind of that's sort of like what I used to do. If I had stayed in LA, I probably would have been able to do that.
Yeah, you know, you would have upgraded the studio a bit, although you're heading that way. And, you know, just releasing them.
Dude, the studio in L.A. was sweet.
Was it?
Yeah.
I just said the garage, yeah, smelled like mildew and cat pee, but other than that, it was great.
No, that's the studio that I was working in with Dan and Scott that you never even went to.
No. It's call it the garage. It's more like, you know, the fort, the secret clubhouse.
So I'm gonna
wait. You had an offsite place though that you were renting out beyond the garage. After you guys decided you were too big for the garage, you rented a place offsite.
Well, I just got.
I never quite got the gist. Actually, of real estate.
To be nice to Ren and to stop bringing sketchy bands that were doing drugs in our bathroom into the house to record shows, I decided to start doing shows, doing Notes Underground off-site. In a studio. With my friends from the Abominable Snow Band, and because they built their own, space. They built their own studio, and so that's where I started recording. That's where we did the Monsters Are Waiting show. That's where we did the
Red Cassettes.
No, Red Cassette was here in London.
Oh yeah, you're right. Sorry.
That's where I did Pebble Theory.
Mm-hmm.
I think one or two more of the live shows were actually done. In that studio.
Mm.
And I really was bummed. That was like the hardest thing to do, to leave that. But
it was a sweet spot, huh?
You know, what are you going to do?
Where was that place located?
It was right by Dodger Stadium.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's
interesting. It was sweet. So we got a grip of comments on show number 70.
Really?
Yeah. Well, like
God,
six.
I've been so busy, I haven't checked the
Kiwi
blog.
Andy.
Bad me.
Kiwi Andy says, oh yeah, the boys are back. Interesting ooh, chat ooh. About mustaches. Are you aware that that's currently Movember? Check Movember.com with an M.
Uh-oh. I'm on it right now.
For more info.
That's too much tantalizing candy to drop and have me not
yeah,
look.
Yeah, Movember.
As in what? Really?
A mo?
Yeah.
A mo. Never heard that. No, never.
You big mo?
Never heard that. What's that in reference to, though?
It's just one syllable in the word. Mo.
Oh, God. Okay, gotcha. Get your gala party tickets now before the official Movember website. Welcome to the Republic of Movember. Okay, I'm going to have to look into this, Andy, but thank you. Oh, hey, there's a UK version.
Was it Kiwi Andy that sent over the Ivar Berman?
I don't think so.
No.
No, it wasn't.
So I think Kiwi Andy sent over some tracks, but I don't know if I have them. He says, also, I forgot to mention in my email that the tracks I sent through are freely available on the net, so they're pod safe. Looking forward to number 71, Andy.
Right back at you, Andy.
He just writes, just before that, he writes, what's the deuce is going on here? I can't be the only commenter. I just thought I'd mention I was checking Stereo Gum this week, and Stereo artist Gum. To watch was Tyler Ramsey, who gave you guys who you guys played back episode 46.
Getting thanks, back in the Wayback Machine.
Thanks to a submission by Micah, the artist, the Superman artist with the cool Flickr photos. You guys are so ahead of the game, and holy crap, you've got some listeners who are, quote, in the know.
No
cheers,
kidding.
Andy. And then here Jamie says, okay, finally listened to the last two shows. I usually hate mashups, but that one was decent.
Which one?
I guess on show number 69.
That must have been the Nine Inch Nails one.
Which was...
No yeah. one can say the number 69 without me thinking of Bill and Ted.
Or it could have been... No, Beatles Radiohead.
Oh, it was Beatles Radiohead. That was really good.
That's a good one.
It was a close race between that and the Fitty.
I think.
Beatles, fair enough. All right. Thanks, man. I understand. Yeah. You know, pick Mitch's picks over mine. I understand. So that's how it is. That's how it always is.
Then she says, the Black Rebel Motorcycle Club song sounded different from the other stuff I'd heard from them. And I liked it a lot.
Yep.
And then she says, I'm interested in this squirrel experiment. You should post the video. Well, Spence, we'll make sure we'll get Spence on that.
We'll crack the whip on Spence.
And then she says, the brain talk was really interesting as well. That was when we were talking about the developing brain. She says, I have a bunch of music I've collected, so expect an email or two, which we just played some. So, Jamie, what up? Props. And then Jamie says, also, in regard to Kiwi Andy's second comment, Silver Sun Pickups were MTV's Band of the Week last
no
week.
No way! Talk about ahead of the game, Mitch. Oh my God, well, someone should hire you for millions.
You know, you just gotta like stuff, you know? And then...
Is it that easy?
That's what it is.
I like stuff.
No. No, but you know what? I don't know. Whatever. I'm not actually picking stuff that I think is going to be famous. I just pick stuff that I like. You know what I mean?
And
like,
that's the magic of Mitch.
And, well, Dan and Micah and Jamie and Kiwi Andy and, you know, everybody. Yeah. Everybody. I mean, we're all bringing in. I'm just playing what people are sending in half the time.
Truth
you know?
Be told, though, I would never have thought. I mean, I knew Silver Sun Pickups, I always thought were good, but I never would have thought that they'd be like MTV's pick of the week good. You know, maybe that's just different tastes. Mitch understands, you know, the currents underground.
Well, you should see them live. They're pretty.
Yeah, I have never seen them live.
So Cougar says, "Hey, NU crew, good to hear from you all again. Sounding great as always. From another side of the medium argument. Not a day goes by I don't hear about the argument concerning film versus digital. 16mm versus HD are the main arguments among student filmmakers.
Really?
And I can fill you in on much more if there's any interest." Yeah, I do think that's interesting.
That's interesting. I actually haven't heard that argument much, but fair enough. You know, it's total.
Yeah,
because
you can like tweak the film and you can really push it in ways that you can't do it with digital.
Yeah,
it feels kind of artificial to use software.
Yeah.
Versus like overexposing something.
Yeah, fair enough. No, it's a totally parallel argument. It's intriguing.
Am I right, Cougar? Is that part of what's interesting about film is that you can push it and like it actually has
more process to it.
Well, yeah. And
hand it, process.
Yeah. I don't know. That it has like a tangible limit to it versus like,
yeah,
HD. I don't know.
But actually, well, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I've never actually developed motion film. I've developed normal film, like still film, but I've never developed motion film. And I'm sure that in most development of motion film, you know, the hand element, the human element of it's taken out. It's done by machines. But of course, you can tweak the machines to push to like develop it in different ways and things. But you can't. That doesn't really exist with an album. You could say no. You can't. You can't really. You know, with like an analog album.
What do you mean? Well, what do you
in
think?
The development
I mean,
of that
DJing,
album, I guess that's the mixer. That's the
DJing,
producer. That's
the record.
It's the, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I take it back. There are analogs between
like
them
scratching
both.
is and like you're, they're like slowing it down and speeding it up. Like,
yeah. 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 They're analogs. You're right.
He says, "I will send some recommendations for episode 71 soon. Check your inbox. But the band I can recommend to everyone without any hesitation, Grand Ole Party. Check them out. You'll be glad you did."
Is Mitch?
So
I think it's a miracle.
I pulled some Grand Ole Party.
We got a little Grand Ole Party
off of download.com. Let's check it out.
You can see it in my sweat. when I broom, you come a crawling. Look out, young son. Look out, young son. Look out, young son. When I broom, you come a crawling. Oh, I must be the devil's daughter. What a dark father to dwell in me. Oh, I must be the devil's daughter. Such a dark father to dwell in me.
Wine and cheese, yeah.
Wine and cheese, wine and cheese.
Wine and cheese.
That's my style.
Yeah.
That's my stilo.
I don't think you can listen to Grand Ole Party and have wine and cheese, though. Yeah, that's a bear drinking music.
That is. That's a little crush the empty Budweiser can on your forehead. Jump around a bit. Yeah.
Oh.
Is that how you used to roll, Renica? Pint glass in the mouth?
That's Mitch's party trick.
That's Mitch's party trick, is it?
I'm just going to, you know what I'm going to do, Ren? I'm going to put like a portable mic, like a lapel mic right on your...
Yeah, that'd be good. Because everyone's
missing
out.
You've got
the
one-liners tonight that aren't, no one can
red.
Even hear.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
That
I like
was super
that
good, man. That says yeah to me, but not.
It's like if Jack White was a chick.
Good point. Good one.
Huh?
Yeah. I like that.
I'm just saying.
It's funny because the Grand Ole Party seems so familiar to me, but I can't figure out why. I feel like they floated through my transium at some point, and I don't know where or when or in what dimension. But
well, there's the Grand Ole Opry.
And there's, you know, that horrible political party, but not...
That horrible political party?
Grand Ole Party. GOP.
Oh.
Republicanos?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Republic assholes. But the band, I swear, was the... Anyway. Thanks so much for that submission. I was glad to hear that, and I'm going to be tuning into more of that for sure.
Let me just get through this. One last comment was Pete. He says, another great show, guys. Got me through another day at work. Glad
yes.
you mentioned Nirvana's Unplugged in New York. Almost forgot it was coming out on DVD today.
Oh, that's interesting.
That was posted on November 21st. I'm watching it right now. Nice to see it after listening to who knows how many times.
Mm.
It's unedited, too, meaning they left all the between song banter.
Oh, cool, man.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome to see.
Yeah.
That's a good Christmas gift right there.
There you go.
Hint.
There's enough stuff coming out. God, it's so annoying. Like, all the good stuff to buy doesn't come out till November because that's when the only time anyone...
I've decided, though, I'm giving all my best friends Bright Black Morning Light album for Christmas this
year.
Make it easy.
Yeah.
Not you, of course. I know you already have it.
I've got it.
I'd hate to spoil
it.
Oh,
thanks,
the prize,
Dan.
You know?
Yeah. I got this. I'm going to get you Silver Sun pickups for Christmas. So... A couple weeks ago, we didn't even mention this, Dan and I watched this amazing documentary.
Oh, yeah, The Clash.
Yeah, on Joe Strummer.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
That was really good. What was it called?
It was called The Future is Unwritten.
The Future is Unwritten. So inspiring.
Completely
you know?
Inspiring, especially in the way that I was so inspired by the way that he mellowed with age.
Yeah, totally.
It was amazing to me how
but
he
still like stayed sort of creative and like
completely creative, but totally inspired by people. And that was the common thread through all of it. Like he was an angry youth, but an angry youth inspired by people. And then he was a mellow old man, but a mellow old man inspired by people still.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. I mean, he wasn't old. He wasn't very old at all. He was like 55 when he died, right?
Yeah.
He
just like had this resurgent. He had like finally like sort of come back to like center stage with the Mescaleros then you know I don't know
we didn't play a Mescaleros song on the last album on the last show did we
no we
haven't
we gotta
do that on the next show because that was good
no but we've got a Clash tune
yeah
so maybe we should play that check it out this one's called Rudy Can't Fall
fail
Yeah. look of what I need. I just don't have. But they cut and they press me till I hurt. Ooh, we got there.
So is that like, the Republican National Committee's like theme song?
It should be. That should be his fighting song. Although they say that in the minds, like in human cognition, to say don't or can't is almost the same, like how the mind like hears it as do or can. So you should say. What was it? There's ways around it, but basically I've heard that the mind hears don't as just in almost the same way as do. So if you tell yourself, don't do this, it's not like the best way to prevent yourself from doing something. You need to say, I need to do this. You know, you need to like do it in a positive way rather than a negative way. This is what I've heard. So sorry, Rudy will fail. And if he does, it's your fault, Joe. Do you guys find that you're like hyperventilating on tricks to best sort of mental tricks to like best develop Bailey? Like, do you find that there's just so many that you
but we got this great that we started kind of being weird about that, but now I think we're just doing now at this point it's like 3 months in and it's like, I mean, I'm speaking for myself, I guess, but it feels mostly like instinct is pretty sweet.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
just pay attention and see what she's interested in doing, what she starts to do, and just
go
respond.
With it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she knows. Knows what she needs to do to.
Because you've read a few books.
Yeah.
And do you find that they contradict each other much?
Yeah.
Or yeah, they do.
Yeah, all of them do.
Really?
Books, yeah. There's so many different philosophies out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to take in a few, you know, take in a little bit from some books here and some people you trust there, and throw in a good healthy dose of your own instinct. And
yeah,
that seems to be working for us.
See what worked well with mom, and then like do that stuff. And avoid what didn't work so well with mom and things.
But the first thing Ren said, which I think is the most valuable, which a lot of people forget, is to just listen to her.
Yeah.
And to like, she might not be using words, but she is communicating.
Yeah.
A lot.
And
some people are so out of touch, though, with how kids communicate. Like, they just can't get it. Myself probably being one of them to a large extent.
But they also end up doubting themselves because there's so much information out there.
Yeah.
So
and they think experts know better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that puts them at a disadvantage.
Huh. Man. It's a minefield.
That's weird.
Of sorts.
We just got this. We've been having a lot of fun. Or I've been having a lot of fun reading to her at night. And I'm.
What are you reading?
Well, that's the thing, right? Is that like. We went, you know, we got all these picture books from our friends, like with these 10-page books that take about 5 minutes to read.
Yeah.
even if you go real slow and you point out all the pictures and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And I found at this stage that just she, like, the sound of my voice is more soothing to her.
Yeah, than any story. Than, or, like, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Than her, you know, actually being able to flip the pages herself. So we got that book, The Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Oh, cool.
And it's a kid's story, but it's told, it's dark. Like, it's cool. Super dark.
Wicked.
And, like, it's really fun. The way that the author sort of writes it is just really, like,
yeah.
Like, he'll get to a point in the book where he'll be like, if you were hoping for a happy ending, you know, now might be a good time to close the book. like that kind of thing.
Didn't they just do a movie?
A couple years ago, I think there was the, yeah.
But it wasn't,
what's his name? The Jim Carrey played like one of the bad guys, okay. Or the main bad guy in the story.
Yeah, I don't remember that book or any Lemony Snicket book.
I think it's English.
Well, so is Roald Dahl.
Right.
But oddly enough, it might be.
I think it's newer.
Oh, okay.
Like this part of the Harry Potter sort of crew, okay, rather than the Roald Dahl crew.
I wonder who the author actually is, because it's clearly a pseudonym.
Lemony Snicket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be really, like, does anyone know? Is it a mystery? Like Kraftwerk?
It might be, you know,
it might be your neighbor.
Might be my neighbor.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're from this area.
I don't know. They're great stories.
They probably live in that abandoned church down the street. yeah, cool, man.
Yeah. So we've got a long show still running, and man, we should probably get back to the music.
Hit me.
So we've got, do you remember a while back, I don't think I ever played this on the show, but I've wanted to, there was a country western, remake of Snoop Dogg's Gin and Juice.
Oh God.
I'm going to torture your ears for a minute.
Oh here God.
This type of shit happens all the time. my money on my mind. Rolling down the street, smoking A&O, sipping on gin and juice, lay back. On my mind, on my money, and my money on my mind.
Epic.
Yeah.
That was epic.
Yeah, that was sweet.
That was the cherry on top of an amazing show of music.
It was actually like good music, though.
It was
terrific.
Like,
yeah.
It was so appropriate.
I think that was the Naked Tucker, and those are the guys from the Naked Tucker and T-Bones show, which is like a comedy duo that play in L.A. at the Largo.
They're awesome musicians.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they pick some really apt covers, like, for the genre. Like, it's shocking to me that there haven't been more explicit bluegrass. I mean, there's some explicit things in bluegrass, especially,
but
like,
that's
political,
not bluegrass,
social.
Is it?
But it
what
is,
kind of is?
That is. That's bluegrass,
yeah.
I'd
kinda
say. I mean, I don't know the,
yeah,
subs,
yeah,
the
no,
subgenres
it,
of bluegrass.
Yeah, because it had the little mandolin and,
yeah,
like,
yeah. But why isn't there that kind of raw thing in bluegrass songs from the beginning? Bluegrass is so traditional and kind of like in a way, above, what's the word? Like, classy? You know, like,
I
bluegrass doesn't get that raw and that, like, that
raunchy.
Raunchy,
and like,
exactly.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense because you know that they do plenty of drugs and fornicate and, you
smoke
know,
smoke a lot of pot.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, it's not uncommon to the South. it's just so interesting to hear it because it ports over really well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, dude, that's a sweet...
That was a sweet cover.
And there's this funny thing on YouTube of Snoop Dogg listening to it.
Really?
And he's like, yeah, I like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And without... You know, and about as ecstatic as you'll ever see Snoop, which is like a smile on his face.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know,
but sitting back digging it.
Yeah.
Man, well, that's cool. There's a lot of crossover.
Yeah. Speaking of like funny comedy duos, I think I asked you this off air before, but do you like Flight of the Conchords? Have you been listening or watching that?
I've watched a few episodes. It doesn't hook me like it seems to be hooking everyone else.
I think it's pretty funny.
It seems good.
I think it's amazing that they do like two or three new songs every show. Like that's pretty prolific. You know, it's hard to do that.
Did you hear their interview on NPR?
No.
Terry Gross.
Really?
She did them.
Really?
Yeah, she did them both. It was good. It was pretty good. It was as good as the show.
Yeah.
Listening to it. Yeah. And it was funny because they had to explain a couple of really explicit things to Terry. Like, because they weren't sure if, you know, her highbrow intellect would understand some of their base humor. So they had to really.
Super dry.
Yeah.
Like, they don't laugh. They don't, like, smile when they tell jokes.
Some of the terms meant. And it was funny to hear Terry kind of go,
oh, really?
Oh yes, I understand.
I got to check that out. You can probably download
You can get it from NPR. But you've been watching it all, huh?
There's still three or four from that first season I haven't seen yet. But it's just something that it's a nice, like, light half hour to watch. It's really fun.
I've been totally absorbed by Californication.
Oh, you have?
I've watched Fia and I burned through all the episodes in like 3 days.
Nice segue.
So good,
Dan, because I picked out, I was watching, I love Californication.
Tell me about it.
And I just, the song was on like one of the like few like deeply emotional moments in the show. When he like the main character like feels truly alone, like, you know that he's lonely, but he actually allows himself to feel alone.
Yeah.
And they play this My Morning Jacket cover of Rocket Man by Elton John.
Oh, yeah.
And it's gorgeous. So
cool.
I'm going to play it right now.
Cool. Got a Segway Psychic.
I miss the earth. Californication. All of them.
TV show moms.
TV show moms these days. It's a sign of the times.
Peter Petrelli's mom?
No. No, I'll draw the line at that one. It's not all HBO moms. It's only some. Wait. Heroes wasn't an HBO show, was it?
No.
It's normal.
Yeah.
Anyway. Anywho. That was a good one, Mitch. Good pick.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. That's good.
Makes me want to go, walk slowly home, staring at the ground.
Dude, it's you are the segue, man, because I'm picking one last before we close the show. I want to play that one last Radiohead.
Oh yeah,
that one, my favorite Radiohead tune, and I guess the imagery that I get when I'm listening to this song is like the hero at the end of a movie where nothing went the way he wanted it to, but he's still alive. And he's like walking off into the sunset or whatever, you know. It sounds super cheesy, but think about that when you listen to it. I think it actually fits really well, and I'm sure it'll get used in a movie at some point.
Cool. Walk off into the sunset, everybody.